Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, please, and I'm going to get us started in a word of prayer. And then I have a few things to share with you that the Lord has put on my heart for us over the course of the last 2 weeks. He's been bringing things back, and I really want to share those with you, a few experiences that he's given me for our country in this hour. And so, Heavenly Father, we just submit this time to you. Lord God, we submit this time to you. I thank you, Father God, that you are so faithful. I thank you, Father God, that your word is true. And I thank you that you come and you encourage us. And you help us to see things from your perspective. I thank you for the intercessors who are so faithful and have never given up. Let tonight be a time of encouragement and a strengthening of our faith as we press through to victory on behalf of our country and on behalf of your plans and purposes in the earth. In your precious and holy name, amen. During the time between Malachi and the time of our Lord, we have a significant gap in the Word of God. There's about 400 years there. And during that period of time, Israel underwent significant wars where the enemy tried to destroy the nation. And the one that we see, the most notable, I guess, would be the period of the Maccabees. And Maccabee means the hammer. That's what it means. And they were a group of, it was a man and his five sons. And they were a group who were untrained, who fought for the nation of Israel to return to God. What had happened during this season of time is the nation itself had slipped away from its purpose, its reason for God calling them. Some of the most mighty outpourings of God in the earth occurred, and we read about them in the Word of God, with the nation of Israel. The covenant with Abraham that followed through, their family lineage that paved the way, the Exodus, the time at Mount Sinai when they received the law. This was a profound impartation of God in the earth. He poured himself down into the people that they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt who he was and who they would serve. That they would have sealed upon their hearts his law And they would carry that with them, and they would deposit that into their children and their children's children and their children's children as they traverse through the wilderness to enter into the promised land, and a land that they would have to fight for, that they would have to take from horrifically idolatrous nations. And I don't mean just horrifically idolatrous. I mean sacrifice your children, idolatrous nations. But that was the promised land. And God is a covenant-keeping God. So when he poured himself down on Mount Sinai, revealing himself to the people, they were to carry him with them everywhere they went. So that when they went into battle, with him on their minds, with him in their hearts. His word was to be their lamp. Jacob, you know, wrestled with God. And he was renamed Israel, but Israel lives almost by the principle, one who wrestles with God, because they have wrestled with God for all of their existence. But he is their people, or they are his people. During the time between Malachi and what we read in the gospel, the nation itself had pulled away from him once again. They had embraced the ways of those who had conquered them. There were those who were the Orthodox Jews, and they followed the law. They believed in both the oral law and the Torah, the written law. And they adhered to it. And then there were the group, the Hellenistic Jews, and they felt that they needed to embrace those that had conquered them. And really, they weren't under, always, they went back and forth in this, under such severe persecution. At times they were under extreme persecution, but they needed to sort of embrace and sort of just allow change to take place. They needed to assimilate into the nation. Alexander the Great had conquered the known world and had allowed Israel to have their temple. He had allowed them to have their faith. But as the people were surrounding them and they were experiencing more of these liberal ways, they transitioned away from their purpose, really. They had embraced the world. They had gone so far as to stop even circumcising their children. There were leaders that banned them from circumcising their children, from studying Torah, from teaching their children. But there were those that embraced this way of life. And it fluctuated for hundreds of years, back and forth and back and forth. Under the oppression, there were those that stood staunchly before God, clinging to him for life. And others who said, let's just accept it and embrace it. And as I read through some of the history of this season, and then, of course, you get to the Maccabean Wars, and you see what they gave up, what they lost, what they, those that were killed in the midst of it, those that were martyred because they refused to embrace these liberal ways because they were adhering to the law. They refused. And as time went on, of course, we all know about the sacrifice, being forced to sacrifice a pig or eat pig, and that was just the ultimate abomination. Many were martyred under that alone. And there were those that just ate the pig. And as I read through this and I saw the difference between those that were willing to lay down their life for their faith, willing to lay down their life for the promises of God, willing to set everything aside of the world and embrace the one true God, and those that were willing to embrace the world and set aside the one true God. I couldn't help but think of our country. I couldn't help but think, because even back then, the biggest thing that we saw between the Hellenistic Jews and the Orthodox Jews was they had entered into a civil war. The enemy had come in and provoked within them a civil war and used that to further divide the very tiny nation of Israel. I've shared before how small this nation was. If you could drive straight from north to south, it would take you about 4 hours to drive it. If you could drive straight from east to west, it would take you about an hour. That's how small the nation of Israel is, yet it dominates world news. And it has always been a piece of real estate that the enemy has sought to own and dominate. So as I saw this civil war that had developed, and, you know, once again, I come back to our country, and I think, Lord, how far we've come from being true patriots who stand for the flag, who stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, who stands when the song, when the Star Spangled Banner is saying, when these classics that define and that were written during times of great war and strife in our nation. There was a time when every patriot would stop, remove their hat, put their hand on their heart, and they would just teach their children to respect the nation. We didn't allow compromise on our televisions. We didn't allow compromise in our schools. We didn't allow it in our homes. We chose righteousness because we saw ourselves this nation as a nation chosen by God. And we felt the privilege that it was to be born in this country, or to come and be among those that immigrate to this land. We saw the privilege, and we honored that privilege. We saw it for what it was. We saw the freedoms that we have, the freedom of religion, the freedom of free speech, the freedom of the press. We saw these rights and privileges granted to us by our Constitution. And we respected them. We fought for this nation. And we were willing to fight for this country. We were willing to even die for this country. Not necessarily for some fanfare or glory. How many men were lost in battle that their bodies were never recovered? There's a field in Virginia with unmarked graves representing those that lost their lives in battle and were not recovered. But we didn't do it for personal fanfare. We weren't willing to do it for personal fanfare. What were we willing to do it for? Our posterity, our children's children. If you've ever been to another country, if you've ever been to Mexico or South America or almost any country in Africa, you come home and you're so deeply grateful for this land. And you'll sing every song that stirs in the heart of patriotism. If you've ever been to a nation that is dominated by communism and oppression, like Korea, China, you will come and be so grateful for the freedoms that you possess, and you will be willing to do everything in your power to make sure that your children and your grandchildren can stay here and live among the free and the brave. We have been fighting for this country for 23 years while the enemy has tried to destroy it. And we are on the cusp of really seeing victory. We really are. And that the enemy wants to come in and bring about another battle to divide. And I saw it. I saw it during the election, and I saw it this week. And I sought the Lord on this. You know, we have braved through Black Lives Matter and critical race theory. We have braved through COVID. And I have talked recently even to a divorce lawyer who informed me that people are literally getting divorced over COVID. They're getting divorced over politics. How grievous that is. But as I sought the Lord this week very heavily on this, because my heart was deeply grieved over what I was seeing and what I was hearing, the Lord took me back. And he took me back to some things. And I want to share a couple of those things with you. And I want to encourage you in something. Because, you see, Israel fought hard. And they lost many battles. But their greatest losses occurred when civil war was provoked by the enemy among themselves. And we cannot allow that to take place. The Lord told me that the enemy is going to stir up division between the conservatives. He's going to try to split them. He's going to split them between the embracing of kind of a little bit more progressiveness, kind of like the Hellenistic Jews. And he's going to split them between those that say, no, we need to staunchly stand on our beliefs. We need to not compromise. We need to not allow this to become a part of our platform. And friends, we need to, above all else, not allow compromise. Because when we do, the enemy comes in and brings destruction. The Lord showed me that he's going to try to split people between even President Trump and Ron DeSantis. And I thought, what? I mean, surely this wouldn't happen. And yet on election night and up until the point when President Trump announced his bid, I saw polls that were being taken by staunch Trump supporters. And DeSantis was leading in those polls. I thought, why are they even putting this up here? Clearly, don't they see God's perspective in this? President Trump needs to finish what he started. And I thought, well, obviously, they don't see God's perspective. How easy it is for us to lean to our own understanding. Now, those polls have turned back around now that he's announced his bid. But I am here to tell you that the enemy is going to try to stir this up between them. And we as intercessors must pray this down. Before President Trump was ever elected, John and I were doing these prayer calls. I was running the board back then on Tuesday nights. When we didn't have JA training, Joel's Army training, we would have an extra night of prayer, and then we would have it Tuesday morning. And we did this for about 6 months leading up to the 2016 election. And it was in the midst of one of those calls, I had a vision, and I had a vision of President Trump. And I saw him on the stage to be inaugurated. And as he took his step, he stepped with his heel. And before his toe hit the stage, I saw everything that he had gone through in his life, in his 70 years, every success and every failure, every win and every loss. And I saw that it had done something within him that would birth something in our nation, and it would birth almost a new nation. It would enable this nation to step into its destiny, and it would transform our nation. This was in 2016. I saw it pour out from him out onto our nation, and it literally became like gold on our land. And it began to heal our nation. I saw that there was a healing between the races. I saw that there was literally a healing in our soil. I saw new life begin to grow in our country. This is 6 years ago, And we have learned a lot about the mess in our country in 6 years. We thought we knew a lot before. This last 6 years has revealed so much more than we knew before. But what he had experienced birthed new beginnings in our country. A while later, I was in prayer and I had a vision of him. And he was standing in the middle of the country. And the center of the country had literally, it had dropped down. Our country had it. And it was about 4, maybe 6 feet down. And he was standing there. And he had his white business shirt on. But his tie was removed and his jacket was thrown aside. And he had his sleeves rolled up. And he was pulling on this chain. And he was pulling, and he was pulling, and he was pulling so fiercely, so intensely, as though it was his very life, his children's life at the end of that chain. He was sweating profusely. But when he got to the end of the chain, there was a pole, and he picked it up. And he held it up, and he placed it in this area that appeared in front of him, and he set it in there, and he locked it in place. And he stepped back. And when he did, the Lord pulled me back, and I saw, and he had literally brought this nation up. It was at a deficit, about 4, 5 feet down, but he had brought this entire nation up. 4 or 5 feet. Because of what he had done and what he had gone through. And this was way, way, way early in his presidency. And I look at that today and I think about everything that we have witnessed. I think of all the corruption that has surfaced, that God has brought to the surface. And I see now the fight God was speaking of. I see now why the battle was so hard. I see what God has done in allowing this all to come to the surface and be revealed to the masses, including election fraud, so that we could turn this nation around. President Trump had been married before, I think twice, we know that. President Trump had filed bankruptcy before, yep, we knew that too. But God gave him and taught him through those experiences how to rebuild, how to enter into covenant with someone and go the distance in the midst of the greatest persecution a man has ever experienced. And God is preparing him to finish what he started. In the beginning of 2022, I had a dream, and I've shared this before about DeSantis. And in that dream, DeSantis was standing there, and he was like rolling out these executive orders, and he was passing legislation to fight for the unborn, the preborn citizens. He was fighting against critical race theory. He was fighting against the LGBTQ plus agenda. He was fighting against woke corporations. He was fighting against Black Lives Matter. He was fighting against COVID. He was fighting against these vaccinations, these forced vaccinations. All this stuff was rolling out of him. And in the dream, the Lord said to me, watch DeSantis, and you will see what I am doing with my nation. And behind DeSantis was President Trump. And see, we look at DeSantis and see all that he's doing today, and we think, man, he's just got it, right? Oh, man, he's got it, and I love DeSantis. I love him. I think he is a great governor. But he has a benefit, and one of the reasons he's able to get as much done as he's able to get is because he has a Republican House and Senate working alongside him to turn his state back to God. He's passing righteous legislation to protect our children and to protect our preborn citizens. And he's learning so much as governor. It's true. But every single platform, every single thing that DeSantis is doing, President Trump wanted to do for America. But because of Pelosi and her band of misfits who fought him every step of the way, he was limited. But it's amazing what he was able to accomplish in spite of what they put him through. Not to mention the media, you know, which is really just a bunch of trained activists. And the Lord told me this week, was it this week? Look at the date. He told me on the 11th, and I shared this with our Joel's Army people on Tuesday, I saw a shield that had been formed over our nation, a shield, and it was made of something very strong, like titanium. It was incredibly strong. And it had been formed by the intercessors, because we are really covering the nation and protecting the nation while the enemy's trying to destroy it. Because if we look at Israel's history, every time there was conflict from within, the enemy attacked from without. And so we have been protecting our nation from that through our prayers. Because we're not looking at things from our perspective. We're looking at things from God's perspective. So we pray according to his desires and his will for our nation, not what we see with our eyes. But I saw the shield, and it was across the nation, and the enemy came up with a sword, and he began to swing it downward. But he was unable to actually hit the shield. And I looked back, you know, I was pulled back is what happened, and I saw, and it was the intercessors that stopped the sword from touching the shield. And the enemy pulled back again, and he swung down, and this time he made contact with the top of the shield. And I thought, where are the intercessors? Why didn't they stop that attack? And the Lord told me at that time, the enemy is going to try to divide the intercessors. He's going to try to divide the conservatives, which is why I'm talking to you now. It's a caution. We look at what God is doing and what God is wanting to do, but we also look at things from our own perspective. And if you read the Word of God, you learn to look at things from God's perspective, not man's. It's one of the most important lessons in our lives, to view things from God's perspective. Because when we do, emotions don't guide us. Good, bad, indifferent, they don't guide us. But instead, the Spirit of the Lord guides us. And when that happens, we become warriors. Warriors that can defend the nation from any attack. That's what we do. And the Lord told me he is preparing DeSantis for presidency after Trump. So the Lord also showed me that the enemy is going to come in, not only try to divide people Camp Trump or Team Trump versus Team DeSantis, but they're actually going to try to eventually turn people against DeSantis. So I'm here to tell you, Trump has to finish what he started. And in the proper time, DeSantis will follow and finish and put the seal on the work God is doing in our nation. But we as the intercessors must stay the course and be the shield to protect our land. We must heed the word of the Lord, because even though we are citizens of this country and we love this country and we fight and we shed our tears, our blood, sweat, and tears on this soil, we are truly not citizens of this earth. We are citizens of heaven. And so everything that we do must be to bring forth His kingdom, God's kingdom, here in this earth. That is our agenda. We don't have alternative agendas. We have kingdom, capital K, kingdom agendas. That's our goal. That is our purpose and our intent in the earth. The most important thing we can do is stand on God's plans and purposes, and birth those plans and purposes in the earth through our prayers. Don't allow our words of dissent to come in, but instead refute those and go to prayer. If you don't know how to pray, we pray in the Spirit, because then we're definitely praying kingdom purposes here in this earth. This is war, and this is a pivotal time in our nation's history. And we, the shield, are protecting this nation from enemy attack, from external attack. So in our fight to get this nation across the finish line, we must remember His will and His purposes surpass it all. Don't allow the enemy to turn you from the right or the left. You stay on God's path, because you, my friends, are a royal priesthood. You're a part of the kingdom of heaven. And what you decree is His will, His plans, and His purposes over your city, over your state, and over our nation. Because we're fighting from God's perspective, not our own. Let us not be divided in the coming months. Let us refuse to allow the enemy to divide us, because God is about to release mighty things in our nation. But it's up to us to pray them through to completion. Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You for the intercessors. I thank You for the call. I thank You for the plans and purposes that You have for us. I thank You, Lord. I ask, Lord God, that You would help us to see things, Lord God, not with our natural eyes, but from Your understanding, the eyes, Lord God, of our understanding, our heart, that which You have placed within us, O God. Help us, Lord God, to see things from Your perspective and act accordingly. I thank You, Lord. In Your precious name, amen.